Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race recap show for season 16, episode 14, titled Booked and Blessed. My name is Joe Batance, and I am joined, as always, by two voracious readers. First, from Bravo, Bravo, effing Bravo, please say...
All right, girl, you better shake them titties!
To Mr. Nathan Patrick Brown. Hello, Nathan.
Hey, Joe, ding dong, the witch is dead.
Oh, I know. I did, it was one of these things where it was almost like anticlimactic, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, really?
But, like, I felt nothing. Because she stayed, because, you know, so many people went home before her. But you know what? We'll talk about it later. And from the land down under, we have another one. Please say... To Mr. Isaac Martin. Hello, Isaac. How are you?
Ni hao, da jia. Hello, everyone.
Wait. Do you speak Chinese?
Yeah, that was hello, everybody, in Mandarin.
Oh.
Oh, no. Okay. Off the air, Isaac was telling us how he speaks half the time in Portuguese. How many languages do you know, Isaac?
Just those three.
Oh, okay.
Just.
Yeah.
Because thanks to an app, ich spreche nun beetje Netherlands.
Well done. Buongiorno.
Yeah.
Well, I know how to say beer in Australian.
How?
Fosters. Well, Isaac, you work in a bar, right?
Yeah.
Do people order Fosters when they're there?
We don't even have it. Like, yeah.
Do you guys
I don't think I've ever actually even seen it in a bar.
We don't know her.
No.
I don't know if you can still get it in the US, but when they had their marketing campaign here in the US, the slogan was, the bogan slogan was Foster's. It's Australian for beer.
No. Our biggest beer is, not Foster's.
What's the biggest Australian beer?
VB, would you say, Nathan?
Yeah, VB.
Yeah, that's the one we associate most with.
What's BB?
Stands for very bad beer.
Yeah.
Is it VB or BB?
VB.
VB. I don't know how you're not hearing it.
This week, the girls lip sync underwater, write and promote their memoirs, and on the runway, the category is Fandango. On the main stage, Nymphia Wind was named the winner of the challenge, while Plain Jane and Q were placed in the bottom two. After lip sync battle for their lives, Plain Jane was told, Shantae, you stay, while Q was asked to sashay away. Ladies, what did you think of that lip sync, and did the right queen go home? Let's start with our very special guest, the one, the only, the necklaced, Isaac Martin. Isaac, what do you think? How was that lip sync for you?
I thought the lip sync was fun. I think Plain Jane did a really good job. Q was trying way too hard. You could see her like going almost manic at some points in the lip sync. And I'm so glad she went home.
All right. Did the right queen go home? I said, oh yeah, you did. You said the right, you're so glad she went home. What about you, Nathan?
Oh, I thought the right queen went home. Absolutely. I think that lip sync was so fucking boring, and I think it's fitting because this was the most boring episode of maybe this whole season, maybe the whole series, maybe of television this year. I thought it was so dull, and like, we need to bring back that Fags of WeHo show, because there is no good God reason why this show needs to be that long. Like, there was nothing in this episode.
Nathan's correct. It was a very boring lip sync. It was very, very boring. I'm never bored during the lip sync, and I was very bored during that one. I think Plain Jane simply won just because, okay, she was a little less boring than Q. I don't know. But of course, as we all know, Q was 100% the right person to go home. Because I love that I saw this statistic on Reddit today, that this is the first fourth place queen to go home since Chi-Chi Devane.
Shit.
So I love that Q thought the entire episode she was safe. She was living her best life. Like, I'm going to the finale. You know, it's happening. I made it. And then they dropped that bombshell on her. That's the worst pain. That shows you they didn't like her. They're like, we're going to take you all the way to the very end, to the point that you think you have it. And then we're going to take it away from you. Oh, the tears must have been so delicious. I wish I could have been there to sop them up. Would you ever drink someone's tears, Nathan?
Sure.
Isaac?
I think they'd be a bit too salty.
Well, that's why Nathan wanted them. He likes salt.
I kind of like the salt.
All right, so then why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we are going to talk about the rest of the episode.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, I got to get something off my chest. By the time I finish watching RuPaul's Drag Race two times, recording two different shows about it, and spending my entire week around RuPaul's Drag Race, the last thing I want to do is listen to other podcasts about RuPaul's Drag Race. But people are constantly saying, do you listen to this podcast or that podcast? And I'll be honest with you, I don't, because I barely have time to record the one that I do. And this sits on me, on my chest. So I have to get it off my chest, because I'm like, is this hindering my growth as a creator? So I'm glad I told you guys this, so you guys can stop recommending shows or asking me if I listen to Race Chaser or Sibling Rivalry. We all carry around different stressors, by the way. Big, small, serious, silly. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest. Can you imagine if I went to therapy with this? And to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have benefited tremendously from therapy. Tremendously. And it's a way for me to work out different problems that I've had. And I've shared those problems with you before. If you have stressors in your life, you need to talk them out. That's how you release the toxicity, is by talking it out. And therapy can help do that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. When they designed it to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you got to do is just fill out a brief questionnaire, and they'll match you with a licensed therapist. And by the way, if you don't like your therapist, you can just switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace. We are back. After morphine's elimination, the girls say goodbye to morphine and give Safira her flowers for winning the lip sync. Plane and Q go back and forth about their looks before congratulating themselves on making it to the top four. The next day, the queens enter the workroom and bask in the roominess before Rue comes in to announce this week's mini challenge, lip syncing underwater. The queens get into swimsuit quick drag and lip-sync to Kitty Girl with their faces in a pool. In the end, RuPaul announced Safira won the mini-challenge before announcing this week's maxi-challenge. The girls will need to write their own life story, come up with a catchy title, pose for a cover shoot, and sit for an interview with Matt Rogers to plug their book. Let's start with you, Nathan, and we'll take it in little segments here. Let's start with everything that happened after Morphine's elimination through that first teaser, that cold open. What did you... any thoughts there, any notes that you have about this?
Look, just like me on Just Between Us Girls, these queens are running out of things to say because they come back into that workroom and they've got nothing to say to talk about at this point.
By the way, if you want to hear Just Between Us Girls the way Nathan sold it, you can go to patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia and join at the executive level to hear the great content Nathan was just plugging right here in his little spiel. Go ahead, Nathan.
The only thing that I thought was of note was Q coming for Jane, being like, oh, well, you're just wearing a bodysuit. At least I have a concept. And it's like, bitch, we get that you have a concept. We just don't like it. And we don't like you. And shut the fuck up.
That's your own. Isaac, you want to step in there?
Yeah, I thought the same thing as you. And then I love that Plane just called Q a straight out Muppet. I felt like that was the best representation of their looks last week. But yeah, I think that was the only thing of note. Oh, and it was just obvious, so obvious that a producer just got into Safira's ear and was like, let's count up tally the wins, which I thought it was actually a bit cunty that Q was like, well, Nymphia has 1.25 wins.
Yeah, she's a cunt. But that's Q. Yeah. That's Q. Yeah. This is. It reminds me of on All Stars, as it happens a lot, where they start going like, the hero's like, the ranking. Like, RuPaul's never talked about that. That's never come up about, like, points and this and that. That's a drag queen contestant made up point system that they play by. But Ru's not playing that game. I don't know what they're talking about. And then Q has just arbitrarily decided that that Nymphia has 1.25 wins. A couple of things. Great editing where they have a line of Q saying how awful it must be for Morphine to make it so close to the end. And make it more proof that Q thought she had made it already. This was done. It was a sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered. Also playing, I'm trying to not trust her opinion because she said that the lip sync between Morphine and Saphira was the best one this season. I'm like,
no.
Were you not there for... there were a few really good lip syncs. I mean, I'll give Maya her flowers and say it was fun to watch any Maya lip sync. Fun to watch any Morphine lip sync. There were some really, really good ones. And I don't know how you can say that that's one of the best ones. Now, one of the things... I have a bunch of notes. But what I did was I was taking so many notes on this speech that I landed up pulling it, actually. I pulled this... this, and since so little happened during the show, I figured, okay, you know what? Why don't we do this old school Drag Race style, Drag Race recap style? And why don't we actually break down this little couch scene right here and talk about the moments with Q and Plain Jane and whatnot? And I'll stop every 30 seconds or so and we'll talk about it.
First of all, congratulations.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
Yeah. Well,
that was Nymphia talking to Plain Jane.
To the Four Winds Club.
Oh, sister, yeah. I almost didn't make it.
For the first three people, they hate leotards, but they got to you and they loved it.
Ooh. See, okay. So they try and sell it, and Plain sort of calls this in the confessional. They try and, like, Q tries to sell it, like, I'm just being shady, sister, but it's like, there is an ugliness to what she's saying.
She hasn't earned the shade, I don't think.
Yes. And there's something about her Botox-ridden face that just makes it seem so not good.
It's not just about the costume. It's about the makeover. It's about the family resemblance. It's about how we made our makeovers feel. And your bitch was dressed like a Muppet. So,
you're sickening. A concept.
A concept.
You wouldn't know anything about it. Oh!
Again, it's a look. I'm not even saying Q is wrong. I'm not even saying Q is wrong. I don't know if she's wrong or not. I don't even pay attention, right? But what I'm saying is it's kind of ballsy to say that to someone who has four wins and you have two.
Yeah.
You know? Because ultimately, this is RuPaul's Drag Race, and the judge is really... Now, by the way, people have argued that Plain shouldn't have won last week, and there's maybe people have merit to that, but no one was saying that Q should have won. She wasn't even in the running.
God, no. But that's the thing. I mean, they can all disagree every week. Like, we disagree every week sometimes on who wins. It's pointless. It's pointless. And Q is not the judge.
Just the way Q goes about it, though, I think she's really out to try and make the other queens insecure.
I think there's a lot in her podcast interview we can talk about when we get there that explains a lot of this, but we'll get to it when we get there.
Oh, is that so? Okay.
Q and I definitely have sort of like a sibling rivalry at this point. We like tormenting each other a little bit, but you know, there's always some truth to the jabs.
Breast cups and leotards and shoulder pads, mama.
Talk to the scoreboard, baby.
It's a very good point. So Q's reading her and she says, talk to the scoreboard.
There's been plenty of people with high scoreboards that haven't won this competition.
Oh, this is where Saphira steps in. This is where this, and Saphira does it in such a like, I'm going to end this right now.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot, though.
which is true. And the only one I can think of off the top of my head is Sasha Velour taking away the crown from Shay in season 9. And that one is just because of the luck of Sasha getting the challenge on the lip sync for the crown. But like, yeah. I'm sure, fuck man, I will have fucking Robert Mata up my ass on Monday being like,
Hold on, Josito. What about she robs banks versus, you know, get my purse.
And I'm like, who? And he's like,
girl, mama, how you not knowing Drag Race Palau or something? And then like, I don't even know about this. Drag Race Yap. How are you not knowing Drag Race Yap, girl? It's the moment. Everyone knows this.
But in my memory, this is what I have. Isaac, do you have a memory that's different from me?
No, I was thinking the same thing, Shea Coulee, but I couldn't think of anybody else. Unless it's an All-Stars, but or you versus the world like Pangina Hills. She had consistent wins, but then was eliminated.
Well, you have things like All-Stars where Ben, but then Ben quit.
Yeah.
Well, no, Shangela. You also Shangela, but then, I don't know, and Trixie was awful, and now I'm going to get, watch my review ratings go down now on iTunes. Now they say that Trixie, you cannot say shit about Trixie and Katya, man. You say shit about Trixie and Katya, and their fans come out. They're like the Beyonce fans, or like the
Taylor Gaga. Swift.
Taylor Swift fans. Oh my God. Yeah, craziness. All right, here we go.
Speaking of the scoreboard, let's tally it up. Let's start with the lowest.
That's Cynthia with 1.25.
Q jumping, which is so funny. She's so quick with it. Is, you know, she has sat there with the index card with the string in her hotel room, the counting everything up, and like, who, she comes in 1.25 Nymphia. Do you have any thoughts on that there, Isaac?
I think it was smart for to sort of put Q in her place to try and bring up the tally. But again, I don't think I could have done any more episodes of Q, the way she was behaving in that back in the workroom segment.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm 1.25, technically they only 3.5 wins. So 2 wins and 2 wins.
I didn't get that at first. Now I get it, because they shared a win. Safira and Plain shared a win.
Challenge.
Yes, that's why. I didn't get that at first. And I was like, oh, okay. But Nymphia's right. It's Safira and Plain have 4 wins and Nymphia has 2.
Yeah, but it's also stupid. I mean, I think personally, like, a win for like a shitty little challenge, like let's just say this book challenge, doesn't count as much as of the ball or the snatch game. Like, those are the wins that are important. Mm-hmm. And you can skate by on just like those. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't think it really matters who wins a shitty little challenge halfway through the season.
And 4 and 4.
I don't have as many wins as like Plain or Safira, but I definitely think that maybe some of the wins that they have should have been mine anyways. So I'm just going to count those mentally.
Mental is right.
Yeah.
What is wrong with her? I'm so glad she's gone. I'm so glad she's gone. So glad. All right. So then the next day, it is funny. The next day, they're in the workroom. They're sort of shooting the shit. And Q, for some reason, I think in a confessional, says that Plain Jane can dish it up, but she can't take it. And I'm like, I'm like literally like looking around my own room when she's saying this.
Yeah, looked in the mirror, Tamar.
Yeah. Did you have any thoughts on anything that happened the next day? The mini challenge? Why don't we go with you, Isaac?
I thought the mini challenge was really fun. For a boring episode, I think this is probably one of my highlights. It was good to have like an old school kind of like stupid, no stakes mini challenge that sort of embarrasses the queens, but gets them to do something that's not so polished. So I quite enjoyed it.
Nathan?
Yeah, a couple things. So, Rue announces what
she's come up. She's come with a couple of things.
So Rue announces that it's the mini challenge where they got a lip sync underwater and they're all gooped and gagged. Meanwhile, like the camera pans to, there's a costume rack of like swimwear. So it's like, what were you thinking, guys? And then also, I don't know how well it would have read in the room, because it was just queens bent over like a little sink. But Rue's cackling and hooping and hollering, and they're all like, ah, 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 ah. And I don't think they would have been able to see anything.
Oh, yeah, because then she even says, some of you don't know the word. Maybe they have a monitor where they can see what they're seeing in the monitor.
Perhaps.
Well, did you notice that close-up on Plain Jane's ass they did when she was wiggling her ass when she was lit? Maybe Rue was just laughing at that.
I'm going to tell you something, and this comes up several times, but it came up the first time here. If I was a contestant right now, if I was Q, Plain, or Nymphia, I'd be so sad because RuPaul clearly loves Saphira in a way she does not love the other three. Like,
I'd be walking around slew-footed if I was Nymphia, just to try and win some points.
Yeah. It is, they have connected in a way that Saphira just has totally got RuPaul eaten out of the palm of her hand. And I would be like, this is hers to lose. I would just be so like, all right, well, there we go. We know who the winner is. I made it to the top four. That's my prize. All right. What about everything that happens in, did we get to the workroom yet? Oh no, we did it. All right. So then she announced the challenge. Yeah. All right. In the workroom, the girls write their memoirs. Q takes a serious tone and reflects on her childhood. Saphira writes about her spirituality, and Nymphia feels inspired by farts. For the cover shoot, the queens join Rue on the set to shoot their book covers. Nymphia leaves the bananas behind. Q feels connected to Rue. Rue and Saphira share some laughs, and Plain Jane serves Plain Crash. Next, the queens sit down one by one with podcaster Matt Rogers. Plain shares how bitchiness can help others and reads her competition. Saphira discusses her slew foot and how it's helped her self-confidence. Q tells her drag life story, and Nymphia reflects on Western beauty standards. Again, we're going to take it piece by piece in the workroom. Let's start there. Isaac, anything from the workroom that stuck out to you?
I thought this whole writing segment was pointless. Like, do you really think they were writing chapters of a book? No. They were acting like they had to write a full memoir, which was just annoying. I think they were just writing dot points, and then the podcast, what was his name? Matt Rogers was reading some dot points, but they were full carrying on. Yeah. Like that.
I almost wonder if this is something that they told the queens. I'm making this up, but it would make sense that they told all the queens, hey, while you're stuck in the hotel room, why don't you jot down some stories or something you might remember? And then can you please do that? And then they maybe was over the course of the time they were there, wrote a few stories, and then they had them. And yeah, because you're right. They didn't sit down and write these stories. That's boring television to film and a waste of everybody's time. What about you, Nathan? Did you have any thoughts here?
Yeah, I thought it was boring. And I agree with what you were saying about, I don't think they wrote a single fucking word, but they were carrying on like, Nymphia's like, writing's hard. And Q's like, I haven't written since college, which is what, like 2 years ago. Mm. Meanwhile, we didn't hear any of the written word. Like, they didn't read this shit out. So
no, they would refer to them,
Dot points at best. And I don't know how it could have been that difficult. Like, I understand wanting to show vulnerability and like talking about like past difficulties that you've overcome and shit like that. But also, you're a drag queen. You can just make things up.
Yeah, make it up.
Yeah, like with Plain saying, I would have preferred if she actually did survive an actual plane crash. Like, I think that would have been a much more interesting book.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Nathan, what do you think about this cover shoot?
Well, I thought it was funny that Q thought she just had the best rapport with RuPaul. She was like, we're getting along. And then meanwhile, the other three have amazing chemistry with RuPaul, like particularly Saphira. And Q, poor thing, thinks she's killing it. And I think Ru did a really good job with directing like the photo shoot. Like, it was nice to see Ru in that space. But every now and then they come out with a critique, which I just think is so stupid. Like when he said, oh, alphabet soup, savor every bite. That's a really long title. And I was like, your book's called The House of Hidden Meanings, a memoir by RuPaul. Yeah. Like, how many more words is that?
Yeah.
So Isaac, I think what did Q you was think? Doomed.
Did you notice Q doing the black zen again when she was doing the photo shoot challenge?
Ever since it's been pointed out to me, I know, and it's very awkward now. It's the only thing I hear now, and it's very, very awkward.
I thought in the photo shoot segment, you could kind of tell that Q and Plain were going to be in the bottom because they both got the sort of shady, like, rattle music at the start. Yeah. But yeah, like what Nathan said, I think Rue was really fun. I feel like Rue hasn't been like that in a photo shoot challenge in a long time, like actually supporting the queens. Like she was taking things off Nymphia and...
Well, what's funny is with Nymphia, because Nymphia went first, and I don't know if that she really went first in the order of the queens, but you could tell Rue felt a little cold with Nymphia at first, and Nymphia sort of broke the ice, and then Rue warmed up. But if you look at Nymphia's photo shoot, like for the first minute or so, Rue's very like all business, no jokes. And then Nymphia starts making jokes and makes Rue laugh. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, Nymphia even pulled it out from there because it didn't start that way. Nathan, do you have any other thoughts on the cover shoot or anything?
So do you take a bite out of soup? Like that seemed to be one of the hotly theorized concepts.
It's, look, I'll be honest with you, and I hate Q. I think they were just trying to find a way to justify her leaving because it wasn't that big of a deal. It's like, like, was Plain Jane really in a plane crash? You know? Did Nymphia really write about farts? It's like, why all of a sudden now with that one are they like, well, you don't eat soup, you know?
So silly.
It was just dumb. It's just, you can see them... you can see the manipulation there, and it's just so silly. Do you want to jump in with anything?
I thought it was funny that they were shitting on Q's cover when they were their producers would have been the ones that put it together. But
a good point. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, it's not like Q was sitting there in Photoshop, like putting everything together. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the interview. Let's talk about Matt Rogers. He's one half of he's the less famous half of the podcast that is correctly said Las Culturistas. But for the white version of how to say it, let's go to Nathan Patrick Brown. Nathan, how do the white people say it? How are they saying it?
I believe it's pronounced Las Culturistas for us gringos.
Yes. Have you guys, you know, Nathan hadn't seen it. Maybe this is an American thing. There is this video of this Spanish teacher in the South of the United States. And she's like, well, you speak Spanish, right, Isaac?
No.
Oh, the polyglot. I thought he spoke. What do you speak? He's Portuguese.
Portuguese, yeah.
Chinese,
English.
And English. Oh, anyway, yeah. She goes.
Hola, soy una maestra de español. Por supuesto, tengo que corregir la pronunciación.
Well, if you guys don't realize, that is literally the worst pronunciation in Spanish. And she's saying that she's a Spanish. What she's saying? She is. I'm a Spanish teacher. Of course I'm going to correct the students on their pronunciation. Meanwhile, she's literally doing the worst pronunciation of Spanish you've ever heard. It's like literally Nathan's exaggerated Las Culturistas thing. She was worse. But anyway.
What a Karen. What a cunt.
What a horrible Karen white-splaining Spanish pronunciation to us.
Who would ever do that?
Who would ever do that? Right, Isaac?
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
But, Nathan, Matt Rogers, you actually listen to the podcast?
Yeah, I do. I sometimes like him and sometimes I get really fucking annoyed by him because I don't think he's a great interviewer because he'll have like interesting, like famous celebrities on and he'll ask them a question, but then he'll cut them off to talk about his own experiences.
You know what that reminds me of?
Yes?
I've interviewed celebrities before and sometimes you're right, that you're interviewing them and they go off on their own tangents about what happened to them and all that stuff. What were you saying?
Yeah, but it's really like the disconnect is crazy because he'll be talking to like Cameron Diaz and she'll be talking about like auditioning for The Mask with Jim Carrey and then he'll talk about auditioning for like UCB and it's like it's not the same. And it's like I'm not listening to this podcast to hear.
Wait, did that really happen?
It happens every episode.
Is that an actual thing where he goes like, oh yeah, that reminds me of
all the time? And I feel like he tried to do that with Safira because he was like, oh, you mentioned your grandmother in this fake book and I actually have this great connection with my grandma and I think it's funny. And she shoots him down and she's like, no, that's not the case.
Oh, yeah. They should have had him interview Michelle. Where he's like, Michelle, what's it like to have a friend who becomes way more successful than you do and you have to live in their shadow?
Well, that's so funny. So,
Have you talked about that?
They both auditioned for SNL at the same time and Bowen got it and Matt didn't. And I think Matt had like a really big like hissy fit about it.
You know what the weird thing is? And now Bowen has taken off, but just getting on SNL isn't the guarantee to success that you think it is. Like I had a friend who she went really far, like probably where Tamat went, you know, for SNL. And they make you sign the contract before you do that final audition.
Oh, yeah.
They get paid. Now, this was a long time ago, but they get paid so little. Whatever you think they're getting paid, they get paid less. And that doesn't include, you know, their manager, their agent, their this and their that. I don't even know how they survive in New York City. That's how little they get paid. It's weird. It's insane. Especially when you start off. But anyway, Matt Rogers. Overall, you thought he was fine.
Yeah. He actually did a better job in these interviews than he did on his normal podcast, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, he got us from a beginning to an end, made the girls say what they wanted to do, but he didn't really stand out anything special for me.
I don't know. I've given him the benefit of the doubt because I don't listen to the podcast. I thought he was fine. We're hearing from Nathan. He's not that good of an interviewer anyway. But the thing that really bothered me, and I do not care, and I call balls and strikes, and I always say that. But like for instance, I don't think Plain probably should have come for Amanda. In the thing, the girl's not there to defend herself. And, but I lost my train of thought. Hold on. Amanda's not there to defend herself. I don't think it's that big of a deal for her to give the basic reach she gave her competition. I think it's that big of a deal. But my favorite part is Matt Rogers asked, I'm going to analyze this death. Matt Rogers asked her the question in an interview where she's clearly, it's not just a podcast interview. It's a podcast interview where she's being evaluated for a competition. So she is even more extra, if you will, of trying to lean in and be like on her brand or whatever. And she feels Matt's leading her to that. So this is why she does this. And then he says this.
Sometimes when an interviewer asks you to get a little shady, you don't have to do that.
You asked her the motherfucking question. He says, yeah. Do you have anything shady to say about the other contestants? And then she did it. What would he have said if she went, no, I don't. I'm good. Las culturistas.
Yeah.
What do you think he would have said? What interviewer says, this stupid bitch, I asked her the question and she answered it. And I'm like,
do you think they were expecting her to be like a Miss Congeniality and try and be more vulnerable and not be shady? Or do you think he actually wanted her to be shady?
No. And I hate to analyze Matt Rogers. They're trying to give the producers what they want to hear. So some of the producers are like, what would you say about this? And he's trying to give a soundbite. You were the one that asked the question. It would be if I had Lori over at my house and I said, Lori, you want some cheesecake? And then she said, yeah, I'll take some cheesecake. And I gave her some cheesecake and she ate the cheesecake and I went to a confessional. I went, can you believe this, Lori? I asked her if she wanted some cheesecake and she ate the fucking cheesecake. I'm like, well, yeah, you asked her if she wanted the cheesecake. You know? So anyway. All right. Any other thoughts on Matt Rogers and this interview?
Nymphia.
Yeah.
Like, I think she did a good job in like balancing the light and shade. Like, it was the most one that felt like an actual talk show type interview, but I can't quite track the story she was telling. I still don't know what her fucking book's about. I'm not any the wiser, and I watched it twice. Did she fall in dog poop or something?
What happened? Yeah, she went down a slide on all fours.
Oh, yeah, when she got ghosted. Yeah.
And she landed in shit.
Landed in dog shit, yeah.
And then touched her face?
No, she had shit on her hand and the guy didn't help her wash it off.
And then he ghosted her.
Yeah.
I feel
like it was a pretty nothing story. Like, it was a nothing story. I think it was just her trying to keep on the poo humor. But I like you said, Nathan, I think she was the best because she had like an actual vulnerable moment, but also wasn't too serious the whole time and wasn't too funny the whole time.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to throw you guys a curveball. Q fucked up because Matt was spoon feeding her vulnerable moment and she pretty much refused to go there. She started to get caught up in the moment and then he asked some question and she like, you can see it. She like was like, nope. And like tightened up and was like, and we're talking about my book. Right? And you're like, oh, here we go with this again. It's so sad that I finally starting to master the Q impression week 14. Can you imagine if it was week 4 and I was like, you know, like I would have nailed it and I would have been so famous. I would have been going on tour around the world, theater. I would have called it El Cutristo. You know, and I would have gone to theaters.
I think you mean El Culturisto.
Oh no, not at all. No.
Savor every bite. Yeah.
So I would savor every bite, and then I'd call it. They go, it's time to ask Joe a question about Q, and I'd be like, oh, you mean the question and answer part? And then everyone would be like, oh, why didn't he say Q and A? If I see one more time on Reddit someone saying, why didn't she do Q&A for the book, Q&A for the makeover challenge?
QAnon.
I'm done. Yeah. Oh, QAnon would have been better. QAnon would have been better.
My problem with this Q, like she's called it Alphabet Soup. Mm-hmm. Like being like, ah, my name's Q, but I still don't know why her name is Q. Like that doesn't tell me anything about her drag persona. Is it a cue ball?
No, like, she wouldn't do that.
She's like, yeah, it references my name being Q. And I'm like, well, what does that mean?
Her exit line was qua. Was that a part of the joke of her name? I didn't get that
and
either.
And they guffawed. Like, oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what was funny about that? I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's elimination day and the girls get ready for the runway. All four queens feel confident in their challenge performance and reflect on their drag race journey. The bathroom challenge was a shared low point for Q and Plain, while Nymphio swears her lack of confidence wasn't a game. Later, the girls share their first impressions of each other, reflect on Safira's growing breastplates, compare Q and Plain's dancing, and throw shade around the room. Let's start with you, Nathan. Any big thoughts on this elimination day?
No, it was very boring and overlong.
I watched it carefully twice and I had zero notes. But this is always when you're like, they're like, it's been a journey. It's been a long journey. And you're like, I don't have anything to say about it. Isaac, what about you?
The only thing I really noticed was Plain still going on about her vulnerable moment from 2 weeks ago. Still going on about it.
Yeah. Yeah, like get over it, Plain.
Yeah. And then that was the only thing that sort of stuck out to me. Other than that, it was quite boring.
Guys, remember that 5 minutes where I was vulnerable?
Do you think the producers have given Safira a new breastplate? Because how has she gotten a new one?
I thought maybe someone left it to her.
Could be.
Yeah.
Maybe like a Maya?
I don't know when this happened, but maybe like even Hershey? Who knows?
Because it seems like only recently she's had this new breastplate.
Oh, yeah.
Plasma. All right, it's time for the looks. Category is Fandango. I don't really talk about the looks, but Nathan, I'll let you lead this, give you a preview of Drag Race Down Under, and you guys can talk about the looks.
Well, there's so few, so we may as well just go through them. First up was Q with the tutu made out of fans, which I thought was okay. Like, I liked the fan bit, but the corset bit was a bit boring. What do you think, Isaac?
I hated the hair, the choppy, like, ponytail bits on the side. I just think, I get that it sort of looked like a fan, but it didn't go with the rest of the outfit, so I didn't like it.
Yeah. And then Safira came out. I enjoyed her hair. I thought that hair was really cool, and the fan reveal was nice. What do you think?
I liked it. I think felt it was a bit too bulky on the bottom, but then when she revealed the fans on the side, you understood why, but again, bit bulky.
Yes. And then Nymphia comes out with the Marie Antoinette look. I loved the nails. I just wish she did wear yellow just to piss T.S. Madison off. Like, I'm now like rooting for her to come out in yellow every single week.
Well, she had a bit of yellow on her pussy in the flame. So,
that's true.
But yeah, that was my favorite look of the night. I thought that was fun, camp. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had Jane, which was like the Greek goddess look. And she was my favorite of the night. I thought she looked really pretty, but no concept.
No, I liked her wig.
Yeah, it was a good wig.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And those are the looks, Joe.
Was Plain Jane the last one?
Yeah.
Oh, in my head, she was like second. All right, well. On the main stage, Rue names Nymphia Wynn the winner of the challenge before placing Q and Plain Jane in the bottom two, forcing them to face off in a lip sync battle for their lives. The song Better Be Good to Me by Tina Turner. In the end, Plain is told Shantae you stay, while Q is asked to sashay away. Ladies, any final thoughts on the episode? Any notes you missed? Anything Isaac, go ahead and give it to us. What do you got for us?
Nothing for me, Joe.
Nathan?
Oh, I actually have a fair bit. Sorry, Joe. So, okay. First of all, this Ronan Farrow, he's been on before, but I still don't actually know who he is.
Oh,
what's his deal? Is he a writer? Because I felt like all of his puns were terrible. And I also noticed he didn't go into Untucked. So I'm like, are you too good for it?
Well, it's funny you don't know this, Nathan, because he actually wrote RuPaul's memoir.
No, he didn't.
He wrote the New Yorker piece about her. He wrote the New Yorker piece. So he is this. Okay, I'm going to get into a big thing. He's a Nepo baby. And I'm kind of thinking, I want to go through all the guest judges. There are a lot of Nepo babies on this season.
Yeah.
He is an accomplished Nepo baby, but he is a Nepo baby nonetheless. But we're going to come back to that Nepo baby this in a second. I can't believe you guys don't know about him because I want to comment on something. All right. So gay. I used to hate him because he was married to someone I hate, but I found out that they ended their relationship. So now I'm okay with it again, right? But he's the guy who's broken a lot of these like Me Too stories, brought down major people in these Me Too moments. He's a big time sort of like journalist writer.
And his best joke was, I'm a fan of this look.
And they were laughing so hard at I know. And it was just like, look, maybe he's a good writer, but not a good joke writer. Anyway, here is the controversy with Ronan Farrow. And I almost wondering if he was winking at it in his quip to RuPaul. So technically on paper, he is the son of Mia Farrow and Woody Allen.
Oh.
And then there was a big, I can get into this, I'm not going to get into this, but there was a big court case. And his original name was Wyatt, actually. I think it was something like that, right? And there was a big court case when Mia and Woody broke up, and Mia accused Woody of molesting their daughter, his sister. And there was a whole thing, and I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into the weeds about that, blah, 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 right? But Woody Allen is his father. However, and I don't know how much you know about Mia Farrow, she famously, in the 60s and 70s, was married to Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
And there have been these rumors, they're very prominent rumors, that she had an affair with Sinatra in the 80s or whenever Ronan Farrow was born, and that he's actually Sinatra's son and not Woody Allen's son. And if you look at him, let me see if I can find a webpage that shows you. You're like, holy fucking shit. He looks just like Frank Sinatra. And it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility because, again, they were married. It was a very famous marriage. It was almost like a Brangelina kind of thing. If you look it up, there's a bunch of pictures, you know, but that show them side by side. You can see different pictures where they bear a very, very strong resemblance. Blue eyes. I mean, the bone structure. This isn't even the best one that I've seen that I'm showing you guys right now. Anyway, so he's a Nepo baby by either Mia Farrow and Woody Allen or Mia Farrow and Frank Sinatra. We don't know. But he's a prominent writer. He's a respected writer.
Okay. All right.
Have you seen the meme online that he's had the All-Stars like Botox do up as well? Because it was the last season he was on or the season before?
Oh, I don't know.
On the main show. But he's had a lot of work done since then.
Well, here's the deal. I will say this because it used to be he had certain, maybe you're right, because it used to be that he had certain good angles, and then certain angles you're like, oh no, right? And so maybe the work has corrected that. I actually thought he looked quite good on the episode, I'm being honest with you. And I've never been a big attracted to Ronan Farrow guy. So I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. All right. Any other final thoughts there, Nathan?
Yes. So I thought T.S. Madison was so stupid in the critiques when she told Q, she was like, I kind of wish you would have worn this outfit for the book cover. And it's like, what? You want her to wear her outfit made out of fans for the book cover when she's got a fan runway coming up? Like, how is that a helpful critique?
Like, I remember that critique, but I remember thinking like, well, not necessarily going, that's a really good point, but just more like, well, no, like this is, yeah, I didn't go that far, but I was in the same boat. Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to defend Q, but it does sort of seem like this was the kind of challenge where they could have sent home whoever they wanted. And
yeah,
critiques like that, I was like, oh, this feels a bit forced. I'm glad Nymphia won because she's going into that final three on more equal footing. So it was good to sort of level that playing field. And also, did you notice Q's mirror message when she left? Did you see what she wrote?
No, what did you write?
No.
She wrote, "Not gonna lie, this one hurts." As if this elimination hurts more so than the other eliminations. And it's like, well, of course, bitch, because it's your elimination. She's just so self-involved that she's like, "I'm not going to lie, guys. This elimination's been pretty tough on me personally." Like, what
well,
the fuck?
Well, I teased that. You can tell. I know people like this, that they have. Some people go different ways when they have a difficult childhood. And there's some who just crumble. And I think with her, she's like, "I'm going to get out of this shit town. And I'm going to make something of myself." But that makes them very, like, type A. But I wouldn't even call her type A. It's just, like, a weird, like it's mine kind of thing. It's very odd. It's very, very odd. I'm not a fan.
I think she thought up until the sachet away that she was going to be a double Shantae.
Yeah.
Like, when Plane gets the look, like, she gets told she stays, her face is gagged. And then she gets told, like, she says, "Thank you for being so good in this competition." Her face just, like, fucking drops off her head. Like, she's in so much shock. And just on that last bit, when she says, "Fuck you" to the top three, and she says, "But I love you all." No, she doesn't.
She
that
doesn't.
Was, that no. "fuck you" was full serious.
I'm sure there was, like, a mega tantrum back at the hotel. All right, why don't we do this? Why don't we call day there? That's going to do it for... Oh, wait, Isaac, where can everybody find you on Instagram?
Isaac Raj Martin, SAA on Isaac.
All right, very good. Is there anything else you want to plug?
Las Culturistas. It's a great podcast. Check it out.
Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Alphabet soup. Savor every bite.
Yeah. Line. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next week and every week as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 16. So for I, Zach Martin, Nathan Brown, and myself,
Wagon Wheel Watusi.
Thank you for listening to Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can also email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us over at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. This podcast was produced by Zach Birch. Nathan Brown has another podcast. It's called Bravo, Bravo, Effing Bravo. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nathan Brown on Instagram at NathanBrown90. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram at Joe Batance. Special thanks to these expensive tier Patreon supporters. Alex S. Anonymous. April Pacheco. Astute Girl. Brad Coley. Filsket Pony, Deckhead, Doofus Maximus, E. Smith, Elizabeth Tinner, Emma, Humble Pie, Isaac Martin, Jade Thomas Plank, Jesse Harris, Kathy Zender, Lauren Eckert, Lucy Carrasco, Luke Stamen, Mike Yeager, Mickey Baker, Poppy Woods, Ricardo the Hood Edda, Robert NYC, Sarah Yu, Runner Brandon, Tom Bombs, Travi Cosmos, Troy Anderson, and Zach Nelson. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag race.